It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Friday, April 12th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. Tribal citizens in Sitka are being squeezed out of Sitka's housing market, and some are leaving town. According to a new study commissioned by Baranof Island Housing Authority, or BIHA, with support from Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Now they are hoping the data and community input will guide them towards solutions. Cliff Richter is the executive director of BIHA. He says the last tribal housing needs assessment was conducted about 5 years ago.
Our data was getting a little stale. 2018, 2019 was the last thing remotely close to this.
BIHA and STA collected responses from over 300 Alaska Native or Indigenous households in Sitka and nearly 200 households outside of Sitka. The survey found that Native residents in Sitka are more likely to rent instead of own, live in older housing such as mobile homes, and rely on family or friends for shelter. The survey also found that tribal citizens are leaving Sitka at a higher rate than other residents. Robin Sherman is the communications director for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska.
An astounding number of the people who responded said that they were really interested in living in Sitka, but lack of housing, you know, or affordable housing was a big barrier.
Richter says the survey data has already influenced decision-making at BIHA. BIHA is now prioritizing higher-density housing and smaller lots in planning a new subdivision on Herb Diedrichson Drive. They have other ideas on strategies to expand affordable housing, like weatherization and replacing mobile homes. But Richter says the next step is to involve the community in establishing priorities and solutions. While the survey focused on tribal housing needs, Richter says the issue and the solutions are community-wide.
We're seeing this as information that's going to benefit the entire community.
Baranof Island Housing Authority, Sitka Tribe of Alaska, and the City and Borough of Sitka co-hosted a community meeting last night to share strategies for expanding affordable housing in Sitka and solicit ideas from community members. You can read the full Tribal Housing Needs Assessment on our website at kcaw.org. A Sitka man was indicted in March for reckless driving and resisting arrest after a high-speed car chase. Other Sitkins were indicted on charges of forgery and sex abuse. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports on last month's indictments.
According to a sworn police affidavit, on March 8th, shortly after 3 p.m., Officer Parker White attempted to pull over 47-year-old James Glenn Thompson on Sawmill Creek Road. Police say that rather than pulling over, Thompson attempted to evade White, speeding down Smith Street at around 50 miles per hour, nearly hitting another vehicle and a bystander who had to move out of the way to avoid the speeding car. Thompson allegedly continued to speed, running a stop sign, before eventually pulling over. Officers say he then became combative and resisted arrest. On March 14th, a Sitka grand jury indicted Thompson on one count of failure to stop at the direction of a peace officer, a Class C felony, one count of resisting arrest, and one count of reckless driving, both misdemeanors. Thompson is currently in custody at Lemon Creek Correctional Center in Juneau. A trial in Thompson's case is tentatively scheduled for May. Later in the month, on March 18th, Sitka police received a complaint from a local liquor store that a customer had allegedly used a fraudulent $100 bill labeled for motion picture purposes to pay for a purchase. Police arrested 35-year-old Joshua Allen Connolly after learning that Connolly attempted to use the bill at another liquor store in town about 20 minutes earlier. On March 28th, Connolly was indicted on one count of forgery in the first degree, a Class B felony. Connolly is currently in custody at Lemon Creek Correctional Center in Juneau. A trial in his case is tentatively scheduled in June. Also on March 28th, the same grand jury indicted 39-year-old Tyler Calvin Eels on one count of sexual abuse of a minor in the second degree, a Class B felony, and it indicted 35-year-old Gilbert Sam Jr. for failure to register as a sex offender, a Class C felony. Both Eels and Sam are out of custody, with trial dates tentatively scheduled for the week of June 10th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
Many Alaskans have to travel a long way for certain health care treatments, but a bill in the State House claims to close that distance by expanding the list of providers Alaskans can see without having to leave home. KFSK's Shelby Herbert has more.
Emily Nenon is the Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society. She's been working to open up venues for telehealth for several years. Telehealth allows patients to meet with their healthcare providers online instead of in person.
I love talking about telehealth because there's so much potential. In our state, we're so uniquely situated to be able to take advantage of telehealth and really use it to deliver healthcare in an innovative way and oftentimes in places and to people for whom healthcare wouldn't be available maybe at all.
Nenon's organization celebrated a temporary policy win during the pandemic when the state government suspended a number of telehealth restrictions.
So pre-pandemic, in order to do a telehealth visit with a doctor in the state, a patient would have to do their first visit in person before they could continue to do visits by telehealth. For an example, if they need to see a specialist that's in Anchorage, they would have to fly in, see that specialist in person if you get further out than just a simple Fairbanks-Anchorage flight. You can imagine.
Before the pandemic, an Alaskan patient couldn't see a doctor out of state unless that doctor and all the specialists on their care team were licensed to practice in Alaska. But the state's emergency order lifted those rules because people across the state were having a hard time traveling to access care. Nenon says that was a game changer for patients and their physicians across Alaska.
There was a radiation oncologist in Anchorage that I talked to who, during the pandemic, had been able to do an initial education visit with a patient that was living in rural Alaska to decide whether they even wanted to go forward with that radiation therapy or not, and then get all the background in place so that when the patient did come into Anchorage, everything was already set up. They could get right to work. Saved that whole trip, saved time.
That grace period is over. The Alaska legislature set many of those telehealth provisions aside when the state's emergency order ended.
So now we have pre-pandemic, very limited access to telehealth. During the pandemic, lots of access to telehealth. All of a sudden, we go back to you can't get access to your telehealth.
The proposed legislation would let out-of-state healthcare providers on a care team provide remote services to a patient in Alaska. It would also allow Alaskans to seek out a few more types of services through telehealth if they aren't, quote-unquote, reasonably available in the state. That includes things like behavioral health, substance abuse treatment, physical therapy, and audiology. Phil Hofstetter is the CEO of Petersburg's Hospital. His first encounter with telemedicine was back in the late 90s and early aughts, when he was working in Nome as an audiologist. That's a healthcare specialist who works with ears and hearing. He was one of only a few audiology providers for Nome and all the surrounding villages. And he says it was a struggle to keep up with the demand for care.
And there'd be a waiting list sort of a mile long. I mean, sometimes 8 months long. A year later, I would go to the same community, I would see the same patient, they would have the same issue, and they weren't even seen. And I was at a point where I was like, this is terrible, I can't see patients this way.
Hofstetter says many of his patients were frustrated and about to give up on seeking treatment. But then, he says, former U.S. Senator Ted Stevens won his hospital a substantial amount of funding for a telehealth project. Keep in mind, this is all long before Zoom or even broadband existed. But Hofstetter says they created this system where he could complete in-person exams in remote villages and then send the results off to a physician who could prescribe treatments.
Everything was from the satellite if you had internet, and everything was very, very, very slow. So I was able to capture an image of the eardrum, and I could scan my results. It would, like an email, get sent to a surgeon in Anchorage, and they would consult on it. And we would have a turnaround time of 24 hours. All of a sudden, overnight, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to change healthcare forever.
Despite his initial excitement, Hofstetter says telehealth isn't the no-brainer he thought it was a few decades back. He has a few concerns about quality control and the potential for fraud.
You know, you don't want to just have the ability to overbill. The other thing that we're concerned about is you want to make sure the quality of care that doesn't get overlooked, which will really tank the telehealth model in a lot of ways, is if there's people that are overbilling because they can respond to something in 5 minutes, but it's not an appropriate level of care.
A section of the proposed law does establish a list of grounds for disciplinary sanctions against out-of-state care team members who engage in fraud. Despite Hofstadter's reservations, and whether the bill passes or not, telemedicine is part of his vision for Petersburg's new hospital facility, which is currently in the works. One of the new buildings will have a section dedicated to telehealth services, where community members will be able to virtually check in with their providers who are based outside of Alaska. The bill is sponsored by Senator Matt Clayman and passed unanimously in the Alaska Senate in late March. It's currently awaiting approval in the State House. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News. And now taking a look at the weather for Sitka for today, Friday, April 12th, 2024. Today, rain and snow, mainly after 10 a.m., high near 42, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, increasing to 10 to 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 100%, little or no snow accumulation expected. You're tuned into your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.